Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The FT.
On the front of Wednesday's Financial Times was a picture of Kate Middleton smiling adoringly at the future King of England and giving every impression of delight over her new job as the nation's foremost corporate wife. The image was at odds with the message emblazoned across the skyline that day about thrusting corporate women. It was even more at odds with the magazine folded into the paper containing the FT's ranking of the 50 most powerful women in world business. When I had tired of ogling Ms. Middleton's hand, held stiffly so as to show off the sapphire engagement ring that used to belong to her dead mother-in-law-to-be, I turned to the article inside. It was an account of how successful career women are all getting stuck in the marzipan layer, just below the boardroom. According to the author, Sylvia Hewlett of Columbia University, this is because too few men are willing to pull women up onto the top of the cake. Men, she argues, are worried about being seen to support a woman too openly because they fear they might be suspected of having an affair with her. This strikes me as a pretty feeble reason for the lack of women CEOs. Professor Hewlett is right to say that men hold women back, but is wrong to think that the holding back happens at work. In fact, it happens at home. The biggest reason that alpha women don't become CEOs is because they've made the common, yet fatal, error of marrying an alpha man. My evidence for this is based on long observation of the women I know. Some of them did brilliantly for a bit, but then their careers stalled. The problem was not that they had had too many children, successful women seem to have lots of them, but that their alpha husbands insisted on putting their own careers first. Until last week, this was just a vague prejudice. But on Wednesday, I sat down with the FT's list of the 50 top businesswomen and Googled each one, searching for information about their home lives. Annoyingly, some of them have succeeded in keeping their private lives private, but with the rest, I found my theory spectacularly well borne out. Nearly all have children, but I could not find a single one with an alpha male husband. The only whiff of an alpha mate came from the household of Andrea Young, CEO of Avon, whose husband was the CEO of Bloomingdale's. I use the past tense, not because he lost the job, but because he lost his wife. The marriage didn't last. As far as I could tell, all the others have husbands who've been prepared to sacrifice their careers in order to aid the glorious ascent of their wives. Indra Nooyi, CEO of Pepsi and the world's most powerful businesswoman, is married to a man who quit his job and became a consultant to fit in with his wife and children. Ditto with Irene Rosenfeld at Kraft, whose husband decided to be self-employed 20 years ago to help her. Ditto with Ursula Burns at Xerox. There are three pretty obvious reasons why the alpha husband is a problem for the aspiring female CEO. First is logistics. If you want to be really successful, you need to be mobile. You need to have a husband like Greg Arantz, who wound up his construction business so that Angela could move to London to be CEO of Burberry. You also need to have someone who is prepared to see the children occasionally. And above all, you need a bit of encouragement. If you spend all day competing with men at work, you don't want to go on competing at home. You want someone like Lloyd Bean, Ursula Burns' husband, who worked at Xerox long before she joined, but who claimed delight when his own wife whizzed past him in the fast lane. Or like the husband of the Indian banking suprema, Chanda Kotcha. She says he's genuinely happy about my progress. The lesson for a future female corporate queen is to give more thought to her choice of spouse. She should go for someone who is mentally her match, but who's happy to play a supporting role. In other words, Mr. Wright should be a male Kate Middleton. Alas, there's a problem here in both demand and supply. High-flying women are programmed to go for high-flying men. Most men aren't attracted to women who are more successful than they are. And until those things change, there is not going to be more than the odd sprinkling of women emerging from the sticky yellow marzipan into the glorious royal icing on top.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.